Chapter 3. War is primarily a game of skill. It is a contest of mind matched against mind, tactics matched against tactics. But there is also an element of chance that is more suited to games of cards or dice. A wise tactician studies those games as well and learns from them. The first lesson of card games is that the cards cannot be played in random order. Only when laid down properly can victory be achieved. In this case, there were but three cards. The first was played at the encampment. The result was entrance to the Strikefast. The second was played aboard ship. The result was the promise of passage to Coruscant and the assignment of Cadet Vanto as my translator. The third was a name. Anakin Skywalker.
Interesting, the Emperor said.
His eyes are steady and do not blink. The skin of his face is unmoving.
And your name?
You already know it.
I wish you to speak it.
Mithron Yoruodo.
So it was you,
the Emperor said.
He leans back in his throne. The corners of his lips curve upward. His eyes remain unchanged in size.
When Captain Park's message arrived, I'd hoped it was.
Jedi Skywalker survived the war, then?
Sadly, he did not,
the Emperor said.
I mourn his passing, Thrawn said. He was a most cunning and... May I consult my translator?
You may, the Emperor said.
His eyes narrow slightly. The yellow tinge now appears stronger. Ikua?
Courageous,
Vanto translated.
His face radiates extra heat. The muscles beneath his tunic show stiffness. His lips compress tightly before and after he speaks the word.
He was a most cunning and courageous warrior, Thrawn continued. I had hoped to meet him again.
Most courageous indeed, the Emperor said.
His head turns slightly to his neck. His eyes rest briefly on Vanto, then return. His fingers press gently against the arms of his throne.
But before his end, he detailed for me the circumstances of your meeting, and spoke highly of your abilities. So you wish to become my advisor on matters of the unknown regions?
I have said that already.
And if I offered more?
The Emperor asked.
What larger offer would you make?
You can see the power that I have created,
the Emperor said.
His eyes are strongly focused, his lips showing a small curve.
Or you can be part of it.
My home is lost to me,
Thrawn said.
Jedi Skywalker's services are lost to you. If you wish my direct service as a replacement to his, I am honored to offer it.
Interesting,
the Emperor said.
His eyes linger a moment, then shift their direction and focus on Captain Park.
You were correct to bring your prisoner to me, Captain. You and your men will return to your ship and your duties. The High Command will provide a suitable reward for your service and initiative.
Yes, Your Majesty,
Park said, bowing again.
Thank you.
A favor, Your Majesty,
Thrawn said.
Speak, Mithron Yoruodo,
the Emperor said.
His eyes narrow. I am still inexpert at your language. I would request that my translator be transferred to duty at my side. The Emperor sits motionlessly, without speaking. He then presses his hands onto the throne's armrests and rises to his feet.
Walk with me, Mithron Yoruodo.
The two guards at the foot of the throne stepped a meter to either side. The Emperor descended to the floor and turned to his left, toward a garden area at the side of the chamber.
The garden is small, but contains a variety of plants. Most are set in large pots or in long floor trenches, lining the curved flagstone walkways. A few brightly colored flowers grow directly from the decorative stone. Small trees with shimmering bark stand at the periphery like sentinels of privacy. The distance from garden to throne ensures privacy from those still waiting there. There is an artistic foundation to the garden's arrangement. There is a pattern in the interaction of curve and line, in the melding and contrast of shape and color, in the subtle play of light and shadow. It bespeaks power and subtlety and great depth of thought.
An interesting space, Thrawn said. Did you create it?
I designed it,
the Emperor said. He stopped within the first curve of bushes.
Tell me, what do you think?
Subtlety and depth of thought.
You did not bring me here to speak of translators, Thrawn told him. But you wished Captain Park and the others to so believe.
Good,
the Emperor said.
His tone is deeper. The corners of his lips lift. His mouth opens slightly, revealing his teeth.
Good. Anakin spoke of your insight. I'm pleased to learn he was correct. The unknown regions intrigue me. Mithron Yoruodo. There is great potential there.
There is also great danger.
There is great danger here as well, the Emperor countered.
The corners of his lips turn downward, and his eyes narrow.
Certainly there is power here, Thrawn said. But there is only danger to your enemies.
You do not consider your people to be among those enemies.
You spoke of an interest in the unknown regions. How may I assist in satisfying your curiosity?
You seek to avoid my question, the Emperor said.
His lips compressed together.
Tell me, do your people regard the Empire as their enemy?
I am not accountable for the future actions or goals of my people, Thrawn said. I can speak only for myself. And I have said already, I will serve you.
Until you find it convenient to escape from my reach?
I am a warrior, Your Majesty, Thrawn said. A warrior may retreat. He does not flee. He may lie in ambush. He does not hide. He may experience victory or defeat. He does not cease to serve.
I will hold you to that, the Emperor said. Why do you wish to have your translator?
He knows something of my people, Thrawn said. I wish to explore the depth of that knowledge.
If he has knowledge of the unknown regions, then perhaps I should instead keep him here with me.
His knowledge is little more than stories and tales, Thrawn said. He will not know worlds or peoples, nor will he know hyperspace lanes and potential safe havens.
That knowledge lies solely with you?
The Emperor asked.
His tone lowers in pitch.
For the moment, Thrawn said. Later, it will lie also with you.
Once again, Your eloquence belies your need for a translator,
the Emperor said.
His lips again turn upward.
But I will give him to you. Come, let us rejoin the others.
The group was still waiting between the lines of guards.
This is he?
The Emperor asked, pointing at Vanto.
It is, Your Majesty, Thrawn said. Cadet Eli Vanto.
Captain Park, how much longer does Cadet Vanto have before graduation?
3 standard months, Your Majesty, Park said. We were scheduled to return him and his fellow cadets to Myanmar when we were sidetracked by the smuggler pursuit that ultimately brought us to Thrawn's place of exile.
You will return the other cadets as planned, the Emperor said. Cadet Vanto will remain on Coruscant and finish his training at the Royal Imperial Academy.
Yes, Your Majesty,
Park said, looking briefly at Vanto, then at Thrawn.
I'll inform Admiral Foss of this change.
Vanto's face radiates more strongly than before, and the muscles in his throat have stiffened. He begins to open his mouth, as if to speak, but closes it with no words spoken. He does not understand, nor will he. Not for a long while.
The Myanmar Academy, situated in the expansion region, was staffed and attended mostly by residents of backwater worlds. There, Eli had been among his own kind, about as relaxed and comfortable as it was possible to be, given the excruciating pressure of the Empire's most intense training regimen. The Royal Imperial Academy, in contrast, was staffed exclusively by the elite of the Empire, with a student body to match. From the moment Eli and Thrawn set foot off the shuttle from the palace, he could feel everyone's eyes fixed firmly on the newcomers. And he had no doubt that most of those eyes were hostile. The alien and the backwater yokel. This, Eli thought glumly, was a classic joke in the making. Commandant Dienlar clearly thought likewise.
So,
he ground out, his eyes flicking back and forth between the two of them as they stood at attention in front of his desk.
Is this Admiral Foss's idea of a joke?
Thrawn didn't answer, apparently leaving this one to Eli.
Great. The Emperor himself sent us here, sir, Eli said, not knowing what else to say.
That was a rhetorical question, cadet,
Dienlar growled, glaring at him from under bushy eyebrows.
You do have complicated words like rhetorical and wild space, don't you?
Eli clenched his teeth.
Yes, sir.
Good,
Dienlar said.
Because we use a lot of big words here. We wouldn't want you to get lost.
He shifted his glare to Thrawn.
What's your excuse, alien?
My excuse for what, sir?
Thrawn asked calmly.
Your excuse for living!
Dienlar bit out.
Well?
Thrawn remained silent. And for a few seconds, the two of them locked gazes. Then Dienlark's lip twitched.
Yeah, like I thought,
the Commandant said sourly.
You're damn lucky the Emperor's taken a fancy to you. Though why, I can't guess.
He paused, as if expecting Thrawn to explain it to him. Again, the Chiss didn't respond.
Fine,
Dienlark said at last.
Foss's message said you were some kind of fancy-faced soldier already. That all you needed was a little orientation in Imperial procedure, equipment, and terminology. That scans out to a 6-month course for the typical raw recruit. Probably 2 years for cadets from the back end of nowhere,
he added, looking at Eli. There were times, Eli had learned, when it didn't pay to say anything. This was one of them. He kept his head up, his eyes focused straight ahead, and his mouth closed.
So here's the deal,
Deanlark said, turning back to Thrawn.
Cadet Vantu has 3 months left before commissioning. That's how long you have to come up to speed. You fail, and you're out.
The Emperor might disagree,
Thrawn said mildly. Deanlark's lip twitched.
The Emperor would understand,
he said. But some of the air had gone out of his bluster.
His own mandate to the academies is to turn out officers worthy of Imperial service. Anything less, and the whole Navy suffers, officers and enlisted alike. Of course, if the Emperor wants to put you in by fiat, he can do that.
He raised his eyebrows.
I hope you'll prove good enough that he won't have to do that.
We shall see,
Thrawn said.
I guess we shall.
Deanlark pursed his lips.
One other thing. Foss said you were to leave here as a lieutenant instead of the standard rank of ensign. Something about getting you into command position as quickly as possible. I figure why waste time?
Pulling open a drawer, he extracted a lieutenant's rank insignia plaque and gave it a spinning flip that landed it on the edge of the desk in front of Thrawn.
There you go. Congratulations, Lieutenant. Cadet Vantu can show you which way is up.
Thank you, sir,
Thrawn said politely, picking up the plaque.
I assume the proper uniforms will be delivered to our quarters.
Yes,
Deanlark said, frowning.
You sure you even need a translator? Your basic seems pretty good.
Eli felt a flicker of hope. Deanlark had already made it clear that he wasn't happy with this arrangement. He couldn't touch Thrawn directly, but maybe he could express some of his displeasure by refusing to accept Eli as Thrawn's translator. If he did, maybe there was still time for Eli to get back to Myanmar and finish his schooling in more comfortable surroundings.
There are yet many idioms and technical terms I'm unfamiliar with,
Thrawn said.
His service will be most valuable.
I'm sure it will,
Deanlark conceded reluctantly.
Fine. Now get the hell out of here! I mean, dismissed cadets. You've been assigned a split double. Yeoman outside will have a mouse droid take you there. Schedules and directions are on your computer. Assuming you've figured out how to turn it on...
I'm familiar with your computer systems,
Thrawn said.
I was talking to Vantu,
Deanlark said sarcastically.
Dismissed!
The yeoman was as stiff as the commandant, but he was efficient enough. 2 minutes later, Eli and Thrawn were following a mouse droid as it skittered its way along the walkway leading to Barracks 2. And just like that, Eli's life had been completely upended. His career trajectory with the Navy, so carefully calculated and implemented, was gone. Worse, just because he'd been solidly on track to graduate from Myanmar didn't mean he would make it in the much tougher environment of Royal Imperial. Even with only 3 months to go, he could still wash out. Especially since his time would now be split between his studies and playing word games with Thrawn. An alien who was even more of a fish ashore than Eli himself. An alien who could not possibly succeed. Eli knew what Imperial academies were like. He'd heard all the running jokes about Faline, Umbarans, Nymoidians, and other aliens. And Royal Imperial, smack at the center of the Empire, would almost certainly be the worst of the lot. Thrawn had as much chance of surviving here as a wounded bird in a nest of blood spites. When he went down, would Eli go down with him?
He had no idea,
but he guessed he probably would.
You seem thoughtful,
Thrawn said. Eli made a face. The Chiss had no idea what he'd let himself in for.
Just wondering how we're going to do here.
Yes.
Thrawn was silent a moment.
You spoke once of a planetary and social hierarchy. Tell me how that hierarchy...
He paused.
Binisu.
Eli sighed. Manifests.
Thank you. How that hierarchy manifests here.
Probably the same as in any military academy,
Eli said.
The commandant is on top, the instructors are below him, and the cadets are below them. Pretty simple, really.
Are there good relations between each level of authority?
I don't know, Eli said. They all have to work together, so I suppose they all get along.
But there is rivalry between cadets.
Of course.
And the cadets have no official military rank or hierarchy until graduation?
There's an unspoken social order,
Eli said, frowning.
Nothing official. Why all the questions?
This.
Thrawn opened his hand and gazed down at the lieutenant's rank plaque lying across his palm.
I wish to understand why he gave it to me.
Well, it wasn't from the goodness of his heart,
Eli growled.
It wasn't to save time, either.
Explain.
Eli huffed out a breath.
Look, there are three reactions you're going to get as soon as you start flashing that plaque around. One, some students and instructors will see you as Dean Lark's pet and resent you for it.
What is a pet?
In this case, slang for a favored student,
Eli told him.
That group will resent you for all the privileges you're supposedly getting.
I do not expect to get privileges.
Doesn't matter. They'll still figure you're getting some. Reaction number two, some will see you as a failed officer who's been sent back for a refresher. That group will treat you with complete contempt.
So this is not so much a gift as a weapon.
A weapon against you, yeah, Eli said. And then there's group three. They'll think you're a joke. No, on second thought, they'll probably think you're a test.
What sort of test?
The really hard kind, Eli said.
Yes, this had to be what Dean Lark was going for.
Okay, here. You're not supposed to show disrespect to superior officers. I assume it's also like that in the Chiss military, right?
Normally,
Thrawn said, his voice going a little dry.
Eli winced.
For a moment, he'd forgotten how Thrawn had arrived in the Empire in the first place.
Well, officially, we're not allowed to disrespect aliens either,
he went on hurriedly.
I say officially because that's what the general orders say we're supposed to do. But that's not always what we really do.
You dislike non-humans?
Eli hesitated. How was he supposed to answer that?
There were a lot of different non-human groups in the Separatist movement,
he said, choosing his words carefully.
The Clone Wars killed a lot of people and devastated whole worlds. There's still a lot of resentment about that, especially among humans.
But were not other non-human groups allied with the Republic?
Sure,
Eli said.
And most of them did all right. But humans still carried most of the weight,
he considered.
Well, that's the perception anyway. I don't know if it's actually true.
Thrawn nodded. Either agreement or simple acknowledgement.
Either way, would it not be more reasonable to resent only those non-human groups that opposed you?
Probably, Eli said. Well, okay, definitely. And it probably started that way. But sometimes that sort of thing seeps down to other groups.
He hesitated.
On top of that, there's a lot of contempt in the core worlds toward the people anywhere past the mid-rim, humans and non-humans alike. And with me from Wild Space, and you from the unknown regions, we're about as far into the sneer zone as you can get.
I see,
Thrawn said.
If I understand, I am untouchable for three reasons. I am an officer. I am not human. And I am from the disrespected edge of the Empire. So the test for the cadets would be to see how creative they can be in their disrespect toward me?
Basically, Eli said. And how close to the line they can get without stepping over it.
Which line? The line where they've done something that can't be ignored,
Eli said, trying to think.
Okay, try this. Someone could shove you off a walkway and claim you were the one who bumped into him. But he couldn't break into your quarters and wreck your computer. See the difference? In the second case, there's no way he could claim you were the one at fault.
Unless he claimed I had stored stolen data on the computer, and he was attempting to retrieve it.
Eli winced.
I hadn't thought of that, he said. But yeah, that's exactly how it would work. Though in that case, he'd have to prove you had stolen data in order to get away with it.
It could be planted after my quarters were entered.
I suppose,
Eli said. This just got better and better.
Looks like we're going to be walking on eggshells for the next 3 months.
Thrawn was silent another few steps.
I assume that is another idiom, he said. Perhaps it would be better if you did not walk on these eggshells alongside me.
Yeah. Well, you should have thought about that before you asked the Emperor to stick me as your translator,
Eli said sourly.
You want to call the palace and tell him you've changed your mind?
I still require your services, Thrawn said. But you could join the others in expressing your contempt for me.
Eli frowned.
Come again?
Excuse me.
Eli rolled his eyes. Sometimes Thrawn caught these idioms right away. Other times he didn't have a clue.
That means I want you to repeat that, or otherwise explain what you mean.
Were the words not clear?
Very well.
You may make it clear to the others that I am no more than an assignment. One, moreover, that you resisted and thoroughly dislike.
I don't dislike my assignment,
Eli protested, the polite lie automatically coming to his lips.
And I don't dislike you.
Do you not?
Thrawn countered.
Because of me, you were taken from your ship and brought to this academy, which you fear.
Eli felt something stir inside him.
Who said I was afraid? He demanded. I'm not afraid. I'm just not looking forward to spending my last term with a bunch of core world snobs, that's all.
I am glad to hear that,
Thrawn said gravely.
We shall endure it together.
Yeah,
Eli said, frowning hard at him. Had he just been maneuvered into supporting the Chiss against whatever the Royal Imperial could throw at them?
Apparently he had.
Which didn't mean he couldn't backpedal on that any time he wanted to. And that time might very well come.
I can hardly wait, he said. Change of subject. Did you really meet General Skywalker?
I did,
Thrawn said, his voice going distant.
It was an interesting time.
That's it? That's all you're going to tell me? That it was interesting?
For now, Thrawn said. Perhaps we will speak more of it later.
He opened his hand and looked at his new rank plaque.
I cannot help being non-human or coming from a region of low respect, he said. But perhaps it would be best if we kept this a secret between us.
He slipped the plaque out of sight into his tunic.
Eli nodded.
Works for me.
Ahead, the mouse droid rolled to the front of a three-story building and stopped, waiting for someone to open the door for it.
I guess we're here,
Eli added.
Let's see what the Admiralty has sent ahead for us.
And then we will learn our schedule and duties,
Thrawn said.
And prepare as best we can for the onslaught.
Eli sighed.
Yeah, and that.